All right. Hearing no response, then Ms. Coombs, have you had an opportunity to review the complaint?
Yes, I have.
Do you have the information you'd like to provide to us about this that would help us better understand the situation?
Yes, I do. And I've, you know, I've spoken to a few people at State Board regarding this, but I am, I've been licensed in California for 8 years. I did instruct here in California as well. Upon receiving my job offer from Kyla, I let her know that I did not have a license in Arizona, but I did have work experience. And she was initially one of the ones who informed me of maybe an exception coming from another state with experience over the instructor program of 350 hours, as I have worked, you know, that much. And every step of the way, we were in communication about my process. I called State Board. I'm not somebody that operates just on hearsay. I'm moving my life, you know, over a new state for a job opportunity that I feel like is a blessing. So I called State Board. I spoke to an employee named Teresa. She even stepped away to ask a supervisor if my experience as an instructor in California, as there's no license here for that, would transfer over to Arizona. And at first she did say, no, you do need 350 hours. But I asked, you know, was there any type of appeal process or if she could ask a supervisor, as that was something that I had heard, you know, as maybe an exception. I know there's laws. But she stepped away, she came back, she informed me she had never heard of such, but that's, from what I understood, that was the case, what she was saying. But I would still be required to test my written test and my practical test, which I did do those and I passed. So like I said, every step of the way, I was in communication with Kyla about, you know, the process. I let her know that I would still have to test. And I went about everything that I felt like I was supposed to in the correct way. I submitted all documents that were required regarding getting my instructor license. I got licensed in Arizona. You know, it felt good to be able to take some of the weight off of Kyla. She was having an extremely hard time finding an instructor. And I felt like this was a good opportunity. She helped relocate me over there, which I was grateful for. But it wasn't me operating on, it just wasn't me operating in, I wasn't trying to go about things maliciously or break the rules or anything. I went about things in a way that I was informed, and whether I was misinformed, it was a miscommunication. That's fine. But the only two people that I was able to speak with were Kelly, the deputy director, and then Frank, the director. And, you know, I tried to get sympathy or empathy for my situation, having to go take my practical in Arizona from Flagstaff. And I was just met with just like they no help. Like I was annoyed, like they were annoyed by me. Like I like my situation didn't matter. I wasn't trying to be conniving in any of the things that I did. I went about, I submitted every document. I did every test and I passed. And you know, if Kyla was supposed to be there with me the whole time while I was instructing, you know, that's something that I would say, you know, she was trying to do it on her own. She's trying to run her business. And that's all we were operating on was good faith. But it turns out that I found out when I applied and I paid all my money that I couldn't get my instructor license because I did not take a 350 hour instructor program, which that was the only thing that was not submitted. At the beginning, me and Kyla did do some training and stuff, and I had to study and everything for my tests. I did what I needed to do to take my tests, and I passed again both. And, you know, what was supposed to be submitted every month, I'm, you know, that's the owner and, you know, director's, I know, job. I'm not familiar with how that goes, but, you know, once we found out that they were not going to give me my license based on the information that I felt like I did receive, you know, we were like, okay, well, let's just go ahead and submit the certification of graduation, because she did train me. She was there with me. I didn't just go off and do things on my own. She had to get me going. And again, I was studying from the instructor book and everything. But, you know, I submitted the certificate of graduation. And then that's when it seemed like things went bad. You know, everything was working out very well. I got no red flags. I feel like I should not have been able to test if that was the case, or at least if I would have gotten like a little red flag. I submitted documentation, the same documentation I've submitted to state board, which I'm hearing, you know, I'm understanding it's a third party that does the testing, which I'm pretty bright, you know, I'm pretty smart in, you know, my own way, I guess. But a lot of these things are very, very hard to understand and confusing. And the verbiage, I feel like, was a little, you know, it's not easy, you know, to always understand. But I felt like I understood it in the way that I felt like, you know, I'm doing things the right way. I was not trying to go about things the wrong way, which this is what it's coming down to. I've just been told I'm wrong. I've been told
I think actually another way to look at this is like, if you're think of it as driving, you're certainly a good driver, but sometimes maybe you drive a little faster than you should be and you get caught.
Right. Right.
I mean, you're a bad driver, but it means you broke the law.
Right. And I understand. Yeah, I understand the laws. And as I say, that is what they reiterated to me. The laws are the laws. I understand what the laws were. I got misinformation, I do feel like, from a state board employee. But again, Kyla did. We had to part ways. I lost my job. I do still live in Flagstaff, but my landlord is not being as, you know, understanding. But I lost my livelihood. I try to relocate, do the right thing, teach, you know, well. And it's just like, you know, it was never anything that there was no communication between me and Kyla. She was very aware of what was going on every step of the way. It was just that what I was informed was my experience from California was going to transfer over. And I was not informed that that was not the case until I paid, passed tests, and applied. And then once that happened, it was just like, you know, well, what do we do here, you know? And the day after Lisa came in and did her investigation, I lost my job. So, you know, and I am I'm a working single mother. So, you know, my daughter, thank goodness, is with her dad right now. But, you know, this took food, you know, out of my.
Do you have any other information related to the charges that you want to give up?
As far as operating without a license, I was literally just, you know, that is the case. I was waiting for my license, and I feel like they're just holding it hostage.
Well, unfortunately, you didn't meet the law. You didn't have a year in the state working as an esthetician. You simply didn't meet the terms.
That's the first I'm hearing of that. I thought that I could be an esthetician for any amount of time in any state. Like I said, trying to read through the things and the laws and things, I tried, you know, it is not easy, but I understand what you're saying. The law is the law. But again, I understand.
Does the board have any questions?
I do. It's Tracy Wilkinson here. So when you moved, you were in California and you came to be an instructor. Mm-hmm. You called them to check if you could get your license.
Mm-hmm.
But a year later, you still haven't had your license. Yeah.
No. I still don't have it.
But you came to work as an instructor.
Yes, I did. We found out I could work as an instructor, you know, under training. It was just the fact that I know Kyla had to be there while I was working, and that wasn't always the case. But yes, I knew that I needed to get my instructor license, which I initiated everything before I came over. I relocated. Okay. Like I said, Kyla did help me relocate upon telling her I was going to be doing my instructor testing and everything like that. So to my understanding, all I needed to do was the testing. And
but yeah, you know, I think I've got what I need. Thank you.
This is Brandy Flores. Thank you so much. I'm a public member. This is a question for maybe staff. Are we able to ask staff to, it sounds like you've had a lot of communication with board staff. It would be great to hear if there's any information from them about this.
If you could swear them in, then they can answer
questions. Who is the spokesperson?
I can do it.
All right. Mrs. McGalley.
I'd love to, actually.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you have today be the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do, Frank McGalley.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I think a couple of important facts in this case is that Ms. Crooms did, in fact, speak with customer service rep Teresa back in September. We have listened to that call. Ms. Crooms completely misunderstood that call.
Okay.
She herself misunderstood it. Our staff member did not provide incorrect information to Ms. Crooms on that call. When I personally listened to that call, I was very surprised that Ms. Crooms was happy with the outcome of that call, because the outcome of that call was, no, you cannot, in fact, do that at this time. Eventually, I believe it was in January timeframe, Ms. Crooms did reach out to Deputy Director Shepherd. And they had a conversation which was also recorded. In that conversation, Deputy Director Shepherd actually played that phone call from September for Ms. Crooms. And I believe it's fair to say that there was an understanding from that phone call that Ms. Crooms was not provided incorrect information for that call. Subsequent to that, I did have a conversation, also had a conversation with Ms. Crooms, where I reiterated what the requirements of that licensure were. And I think it's very fair to say that conversation did not go well, that I actually referenced that phone call, not naming names. And actually, I think at that point when I referenced it, I didn't even know it was going to be turning into a case that came before the board, that I had to end the call because it's going so badly and we were not understanding each other. So I did, in complete transparency, end that phone call with Ms. Crooms, because we were not getting anywhere. It was getting argumentative and loud, and so I chose to end the call. Subsequent, I think the additional facts I would add to this at this point is that Ms. Crooms did not apply for reciprocity licensure from California. She applied for new exam licensure in Arizona. New exam licensure requires a year of experience as an instructor, a year in the state of Arizona, I believe is my understanding, a 350-hour program, and taking the test. So that's why she did those things. So I think it's very, we need to that those are clear distinctions of the type of licensure that she applied for. I can't control how an applicant chooses to apply for licensure in the state. The reason her license has not been issued is because of this case being before the board at this point. So I think that those are the things that I would just add. Brandy, I don't know if there was any specific questions you had for board staff on that.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. It was just helpful to have some context, because it sounded like from the licensee, there was a lot of communication.
Yep. Okay. I'm also happy to entertain any questions from other board members.
Yeah, is there any question from board members?
Was able to take a test and pass this test. Was that the files?
He's asking if she passed. Mr. Chair, Member McFadden, she did take her test and pass. Yes.
And what test was that?
She instructor.
Problem is she didn't meet the criteria to be able to apply.
She's allowed to take it.
She can take
the test. Anybody's take that.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Lisa Chavez, investigator. During my interview with Ms. Croom, what she stated is that she knew she had to get licensed and all of that. And she was putting a good amount of blame on Kyla. And yeah, I let her go because this is a separate, like, pretty separate case. Sorry about that.
No.
But there's a lot of untruths because what she had told me during the actual interview was that she knew she had to get something done, but she knew she was unlicensed.
This is Kyla or?
This crew.
This was this crew.
Okay.
So what she was telling you, that, you know, she just worked on it, talked to the board and all of that. She was, she pretty much played her hand like she was on that actual interview. And from that point, she kind of went back.
Yeah.
So that is me, that I spoke to her, and then I spoke to Kyla after, during that same interview.
Well, we still have a lot of communication problems. Staff recommendation that is a $250 fine.
Yeah, this is Rafael Rodriguez. Yeah, Ms. Cruz does have a aesthetic license in the state of Arizona through Repatri, so she would be considered unlicensed instructor, so it would be a $250 fine.
Right, so that's the entire.
And then another consideration is if she chooses to pursue that instructor license in Arizona, or is that something the board's going to entertain issuing or not?
Well, teacher. With the seat. Yes, Ms. Crooms.
Hi, yes.
Okay. You're in California, you do understand you're never licensed as an instructor, correct?
Yes, there's no license to instruct here in California. We just, you know, apply and have to do something like a practical to get into the job, but I did teach here in California.
Okay. So you did teach in California. Did you ever? Hold on 1 second, Ms. The inspector would like to speak.
It was noted that she went and was teaching at Milan for, I'm believing it was 2 to 3 months.
Milan in California.
In California.
Yeah, Milan. I was an instructor at Milan, yes.
Okay, so you're instructing in California. You decide you're going to apply for the job in Arizona.
No, I didn't apply. Kyla found me. I had my my resume on Indeed. And again, okay. she really needed an instructor. So she reached out to me. She hired me on the spot. I told her, you know, I would do what I needed to do to get my instructor license there in Arizona. As she was aware, I did not have my instructor license. And I was aware that I needed one in Arizona.
Okay, so when you came to Arizona, mm-hmm. Did you ever speak? You applied for an application. Did you call or did you just apply, or how did your application process?
So the process, it's a little, I feel like it's a little opposite of how it goes here. You apply at the very end after doing everything first. So I, before I moved from California to Arizona, as like I said, Kyla did help me relocate for the job. I called into state board, as you know, I did hear that maybe there was an exception to this law, as you know, I found out later that wasn't the case. But I called state board and I spoke to an employee, which that is the call that Frank Magali did say that they did have the recording, and then they replayed it, Kelly did, for me. And I called before I even moved and asked before I left the state if my experience was going to basically cancel out the need for the 350 hours. And to my understanding, again, it was a misunderstanding as I see. They said that Teresa did say that, yes. And again, I had her step away to ask a supervisor because, you know, this was a good opportunity for me. So I was like, you know, I heard that maybe they were making an exception, but you know, with COVID and everything, I, you know, things changed. So I did call state board and spoke with Teresa, an employee who, from what I understood, she told me that although I don't have my 350 hours, my experience would cancel that out, although I would still have to test. And that's the word she used. She said, you will still have to test. And then in order to test, I have to submit documentation to test. I had to submit the letterhead from Milan showing that I worked, a work experience. I had to submit, you know, licenses and, you know, documentation. And then I got the green light to test. And I took my state board, or sorry, my written test at NAU in Flagstaff. And then I took my practical in Phoenix, January. And then, like I said, I did pass those. After you pass that, you submit all your documentation. I submitted my work experience form, everything they asked for. And that's when I paid another $60 after paying $177 for testing. And I, that's when I got the red flag. Finally, you didn't do the 350 hours. You don't have work experience. So I submitted my work experience form again, or maybe for the first time, maybe I submitted something incorrectly. But it was just the 350 instructor hours that they said that I didn't qualify for. And again, every step of the way, Kyla was very aware of everything. She knew, you know, she was overworked and trying to keep her business open.
And this is Brandy Flores. I'm apologies for interrupting, but I think we might be going in circles now. Cause I feel like we're back, sharing the story from the start again. I believe that's all of our, we keep asking the same question. So my apologies, but, Are we being asked, may I ask the board, are we being asked to make a determination on a fine or licensing process? What's the ask here?
Yeah, we were stuck in a spot where we were asking questions, though, that caused for continuous circling. Right now, what we're trying to do is to make a disposition of the case. Staff's recommended a $250 fine. So we're working our way towards that. So if you have a motion, I would be happy to hear it.
Okay, this is Brandy Flores. I appreciate the information in the interview time, Marissa. But I would make a motion that we accept a $250 fine for the license trouble. Oh, we haven't done the findings of fact. Okay, so Brandy Flores would make a motion to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in case number 2024-00346, Marissa Torrey Cruz, number 3230260608.
All right, so we have a motion that we accept findings of fact and conclusions of law. Do we have a second?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it. Yeah, I'm just trying to. We have a, because I'm going to the. We're going through the file. I'm just trying to figure out. Presentation plot.
The three. It doesn't make any difference.
No, no.
You operate without a license. That's all we're talking about.
Okay.
I'm not fixing.
Yeah, I think the point is the facts right now are the licensure issues that she believes that she may have had are not the fact that when our investigator went to the school on March.
There was obviously
that she was actually instructing.
There were obviously all kinds of stuff which we weren't part of. We have a motion in front of us.
No, that's
the law. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. This is the.
Is that an aye that we can go up to? The findings got conclusions of law. We never made it past that.
That.
Okay. So, is anyone against the findings got conclusion of law? All right, so unanimously we agree this happened. Now we can go to an order of discipline in the matter. We have a motion for an order of discipline in this matter.
I move that we.
Is there a history on this?
She has some history.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm just looking at the files. She's operating without a license. Without an instructor's license. But she called the board and she misunderstood what was going on. I'm just looking through these files.
So she did have 350 hours, or she didn't. That's my main. We have no idea. There was no record of her being trained anywhere along the line until the last second, and it all came in one time. But it came from the lady who produced it. Yes. There so we no do filing month by month. It should take 3 months to make it through that course. There was no filing. We have no reason to believe she was trained along the way.
But there's
what they said.
What the hours say that you do?
At the last second after the request, then they held 350 hours. Nothing before that. No registration of the student instructor. Nothing. Up on Milan, there was the. But Milan was in California. Has nothing to do with it. She worked there 2 months. She required to do it a year. Get reciprocity. There is no path out of that. We just need to finish it.
Yeah, no, I was just.
We're looking at. We came back and told her we should meet it. We have a motion for discipline this matter.
I'll go ahead and move to offer some kind of agreement for the $250 civil penalty.
We have a second for that motion.
Does the board want to do anything about the instructor application or future? It's up to you. I'm just that there's consideration.
Didn't meet the law. We don't have the ability to issue it because we like it.
So I think they're eligible to get a license, though.
She could be when she meets the criteria. She has them at it.
But does the board want to issue it at that point, given these circumstances?
We don't know. We don't know if she'll ever come back. We don't know anything.
Okay.
I can't speculate that next year she'll do this. You know, I don't have anything here except for this $250 fine. If she comes back someday, then we can take a look at that. We can note her file if we want her to pick that.
This is Goodman. Without her having a license, we can't fine her, can we? We can't regulate somebody who's not licensed by us.
She has an aesthetic license by the state.
Oh, Arizona. Okay, the aesthetic license. Okay, thank you.
So that's what we're finding her for. Is that we're finding her aesthetics license. We're finding her aesthetics license because she was acting as an instructor without a license.
I think the question here is that the licensee is a licensee of the board and was aware that she was not licensed for the year.
As a school, they're teaching Arizona law. So there's a motion for a $250 fine and a record that this has happened. Do we have a second?
Brandy Flores seconds.
Thank you. We have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 No, next.
I didn't say nay yet. So how many ayes do I have? I have one, two. On the phone, did you say aye or nay?
I said aye.
Good.
Jace.
Goodman is nay.
Flores is aye.
Four. All right. So all those who say nay would be these two guys here and one on the phone. That's three.
Three.
I'm missing here.
Four.
I voted aye.
Four. So you have four ayes.
The majority. All right. So by majority vote, we are going to fine Ms. Crooms $250 for operating as an student instructor without a license. Her application to become an instructor is still out there and valid, except that the terms haven't been met yet. So if those terms are met, then I think the board should review this. I'll have to take a look at this date because it's as muddy as it can get and see at that point whether we issue. Any issues? And that's the decision of this case. Ms. Crooms, do you understand?
I do.
Okay, thank you. We're sorry you got all messed up in it. You can proceed with what you have to work with in the way that you see fit.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go on. Our next case is case number 2024. Are these the ones we have to?
Yes.
Okay, these are our eight that are coming in.
We have the number one negotiators.
Ah, beautiful. Thanks so much.
Do you want me to go through them?
Yes, let's please do that.
Okay, the following respondents will be attending in person or virtually. Number one, negotiated. Number two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight will be attending. Number 9 continued. Number 10 is unresolved. Number 11 is attending. Number 12 continued. 13 is attending. And number 14 continued.
All right. So we can move into case number 2024-00138. Lindy Marie Gunther, license number 11201897. Come on up.
Yeah.
We'll be right there. Unless you get a job. Do you swear our friend the testimony you have to be the truth, the whole truth?
Yeah.
All right. So Ms. Chavez apparently is involved in it. So would you tell us about the case? It will be the same format in each one of these cases. Our investigator first questions, back to you and question.
Good morning, Karen Bentley and members of the board. My name is Rachel Shaw. On December 18th, 2023, I conducted an inspection of RNG Salon, LLC, located in Scottsdale, Arizona. And then he spoke with licensee Atlanta Ranch Drum. I introduced myself and said that I would be conducting a routine inspection. Licensee Atlanta Ron wasn't sure where everything was in the salon, so she called co-owner Pamela Bailey Brackey to find out where the establishment licensed herbicide and other required items were. Pamela stated that Wendy, the co-owner, the other co-owner, did most of the business licenses and that kind of thing, and then proceeded to inspect the establishment with licensee Atlanta Ron there. During the inspection, I identified the following licensing violation. You will see a photograph attached to this report. Yes, I got this. A licensee is one of the co-owners of R&D Salon. On top of Wendy Gunther's solicitation, I found the last inspection report that I personally filled out. The inspection report was from October 22nd, 2019. I circled the license area and I wrote next to it, license with a question mark on the license area. The 2019 inspection was not an open inspection. The salon was closed for the day. This establishment has been unlicensed for over 4 years and 7 months. The respondent had the 2019 inspection on top of her station for all that time that did not call the board or apply for a cosmetology establishment. There were no notes on the respondent's account in the board database asking about establishment of licensing. As of May 14, 2024, the respondent has not applied for an establishment license. I found no sanitation issues. I provided licensee Lana Ron with an inspection report and educated her before the. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Does the board have any questions of our investigator?
Okay. So, Ms. Gunther, tell me what's going on here.
Okay. I repeat, yes. We've only ever been in a salon or a home salon. So, I have to try to be an open information for you. When I went into a studio, much like you were discussing before, there's an establishment license, but the facility itself has an established license for barbering and cosmetology. I have no idea. I had every other license. There's, I have my GPT, I have my business registration, I have my trade. We did apply for a trade back in 19. I never got a certificate. So we had to reapply then. I had been down to the state several times in between us. December. From 19, I thought I was behind. I never heard back from her. I have no other information. I never got an email. Nobody ever contacted me. Sure. So for me, I have no
job. So you believed you were working for the salon?
Absolutely. Because to me, it's the same thing being behind the chair. I never had a license to work behind my chair. I worked in a closed room in an establishment doing hair replacement. I never had a private license, but I have a license.
She never had a business license. She had a private or personal license.
I have a personal license.
Oh, just for a business license for your
for when I work in a salon, they have private rooms when you do a hair replacement, door closure, same thing as salon suite. And yet, we never had that in a private salon or establishment license for doing hair replacement in a salon. But to me, that was the same. That was the closest I've ever had to being in a salon. Everything else, I ever owned my salon or I worked behind a chair.
So what have you done about correcting this stuff to the point?
Well, when she came back in, I was in chemotherapy.
Did you say you have a partner in it?
Yes, I do. And what I had done, so I have the information where I pulled up my LLC. I pulled up my trade name. I went down to the state, no help whatsoever. It's not the same. We used to be able to go in and handle this information and somebody would help you get your trade name, correct? So they said you have to do everything online. We didn't do it. I kept getting shut down, saying that I had to get a certified letter from the original RMG or the original RMG. So we had to go back in. I passed it off to my business partner, Pam, because of my situation. I lost all three parents, mother-in-law, father, from January, February, March. So we do have it taken care of. We do have a license. I did apply for it online after we got our trade name.
You currently have the license.
Well, we applied for the establishment license. It's been paid for. I have the authorization, everything.
Okay, pardon me for a second. Do we have a full application on her? Do we know? Can somebody look at the deed of her paperwork in there and all the right features are in there and all that kind of stuff?
When did you submit the application online then? As soon as we got our certified trade name on the 8th.
Of what month?
Of this month.
Yeah, yes.
Ma'am. What's the name of your salon?
RNG Salon.
RNG Salon.
Yeah.
Is there any other information that we need to be able to find these nice ladies?
Did you do Amber scan or not?
They're figuring it out, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the paperwork back to them?
NTID? Oh, from you?
Can I get the case number for the?
Tom, you're.
2024-00138.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, we received the application on May 15th, not May 8th, so 2 days ago.
So we received the application on the 10th?
The 15th.
May 15th.
I'm trying to get all the other information. Sorry, and I needed to get my EIN number.
You're fine, I'm just trying to figure out where you are.
Yes.
And now we know you filed it on the 15th, so we're going to be a few days to get that out to you. But it takes a little bit to get things processed. So currently you don't have a license. That's our reality.
Establishment license?
Yes, currently we don't have establishment license. Are you currently operating?
Not today.
Not today, I feel like I see your boat. I'm not sure that answer worked.
Oh, no, we haven't been in there. I've been dealing with that.
Sure, you got lots of other issues going on. Right, so you
your application is in process and currently, and it, do we have a full application? Can anybody see if it's gonna get thrown out if it's not an I or something?
I can't do that in the meeting right now, yeah.
All right, well.
If it's an incomplete application, she'll receive an email.
If it's incomplete.
Yes.
Okay, all right, so where we're stuck. You've done what you should have done now. Assuming it's all good and everything is like it should be, then you'll get your license in probably a week or two.
But yeah.
No, but we think if they get into it and figure out something's incorrect, so send you an email, so look in your email. And if you get an email, then respond very quickly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had no idea.
Well, I know.
I heard you guys even talk about.
Through this out the other side. So where we're stuck right now is you're operating without a license. So we can't have that, so they'll do that. They're working you through the system, hopefully it'll come right out and it'll all be great. That often happens, like 47% of the time, people don't fill out all the application. And then it gets knocked loose and you have to go back and put stuff back in it. So hopefully we're not in that position.
Right, we had that for problem we were having.
Yeah.
Complete articles of organization.
I know, the heading.
Yeah.
That wasn't us, though, to clarify that she's working through other state processes that don't have anything.
And we're working on trying to simplify it.
Okay.
We hear that our rules have gone through, so based on that, we hope you simplify it really quickly. So, but that's where you are.
Yes.
All right, so you will end up having to pay fines for operating during that time without being licensed. That'll happen when you do your licensure. All right, you understand that?
Okay.
All right. Open the place with knife, clean.
It was clean. It was just, you know, I'm like the number of.
Absolutely.
I have no, I know.
We're okay.
Can I say something?
If you need to.
When I have the defense of the name. There's no number other than what back here, which is the generalized number. Nobody has any information. I also did send you email, no response from either Lisa or Amelia. In my junk spam, whatever they say, it's from the night, no response. I'm not sure that my mother was.
Sure.
Passing, and I have not heard from her.
I'm there. Nobody's mad.
Well, I understand that, but being. Being chastised is something we were.
No, you're being chastised, no, I'm trying to get you through this without pain. All that happens, I'm just trying to get you through this without pain. I mean, everything is great, you did what you did finally, it's like you were very, very late doing it, that's just life. Now we got the paperwork in, we tried to verify that it was all good, we think it is, we don't know. Assuming that it is, then, you know, license will get issued, you guys are back in business to help.
I did have. You paid for it. Yeah, I think.
That's good. Just pay for it, we'll be shipped out for that, good job. All right, so that's where, now, from a board standpoint, I'm gonna ask if they have any questions of you. So, board, do you have any questions for tonight's lady? We have no question. So we're satisfied, so now we're gonna go into a deliberation part, and we're gonna talk about it amongst ourselves, and see if anything additional has to be done. Right. So, board, do we have anything else that we need to look at, or how do we see the temporal lack of licensure? Very similar to what Chase was talking about earlier. They are gonna pay fees and fines after they get their license. Ms. Chavez has some information to give up.
I was looking over my email, and when I sent her one of these application scores, I never received any emails just to clarify. It might have been sent elsewhere, but I have nothing of Wendy Gunther other than mine going out and then other staff.
Could be a spelling error, could be addressing error, could be monsters, user email, could be anything. Nope, we are where we are.
Okay.
I don't care who's happy and who's not.
Okay.
We're just fixing it. That's it, all that matters is the end result. So board, do we have anything more that we want to discuss on this? Then do we have a motion regarding this?
I move that we adopt the findings, facts, and conclusions of law.
That was more smart, so a motion and a second, all in favor, say aye.
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 All right, so I assume that unanimously we agree that should happen. All right, do we have an order of discipline that's not a motion?
I can't seem to find that the cover where the standard fine of 250, correct?
Same as last time.
Then I was going to offer an agreement for 250, the penalty. And then the 12-month probation, just to make sure everything she gets her proper way.
Time to pay. How much time to pay?
4 months.
Do we have that motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Not. All right, so that passed. So in the end of all of it, you can't operate until you get your license, because then you'd be unlicensed.
Right.
We're going to find you $250 for the fact it was many years of not understanding. Did this happen? And you'll get a letter to this effect. You have a year to pay it. So you can pay $20 a month if you like it, or whatever makes you happy.
It's not about the money.
I know. I agree with you. Just clean it up. And hopefully,
information.
Yeah, hopefully you're filed correctly at the online, and hopefully the license just pops out, and hopefully you just go like crazy, and next year you refile and you renew that license, and you guys make a lot of money and you're happy, and good things come to you.
Yeah.
You have any other questions?
No.
All right. Then thank you for coming by. You'll get a letter in the mail.
Okay.
Number three, 2024-00139, Pamela Bailey Rackey's license number 11401793. I know you. What are you doing? Yeah, I'm just you. These two guys are partners, right?
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony that they would be truthful and the whole truth? All right, please sit down and relax, and let's see why you're here. Is this the same thing?
Yep.
So during this time, this was before the board decided to lower the unlicensed establishment to 250. So at the time of everything that would have happened, it was 500 still. So
oh,
that's
I see.
Why each partner.
Okay, I see what you do. Okay. All right. All right. We've already heard this. Do we have any thoughts up front before we start?
Just real quick to reiterate. So this, you own the suite with this last guy?
Yeah.
And both of you were unaware for the 5 years?
I've never owned a business before. And so I just assume we have everybody. And we have a parent. I never saw. And a breach bill. So, but it doesn't say establishment license. It doesn't say license now that I've seen it. So I understand why Wendy was unclear about that.
But your partner's in the LLC.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, you know, like she said, she was going through something. As soon as she told me she could not be able to train it anymore, I checked over. I got it done. I got rejected 3 times for a small thing, like, oh, wrong LLC was the wrong, you put the wrong LLC, or I put our names in the owner's spot.
For when you're applying.
But I was applying for the training, which is, you know, then you have to wait a couple weeks from to send you something and say, oh, you were rejected. I mean, we were rejected so many times that I had to wait a long time before I knew I was rejected to apply. So it wasn't like we weren't doing anything. I mean, we were actively trying to get our training to get our establishment license.
After you found out, yes.
As soon as we found out. I mean, it was a matter of days before Wendy went right onto the training thing, started the application. But like I said, we were rejected a bunch for small little things. We had a couple hurdles.
Oh, and yeah, we'll check it the time before. Yeah.
And so, like I said, there was never a time we weren't actively trying to get
before
our establishment license. But we had to jump through hoops. I had to call the Secretary of State office at one point because I was like, what am I doing wrong on getting our trade name? And she actually talked me through it. And then from there, it was easy. Everything in the right place. We got accepted for our trade name. I got the certificate on 425.
I got that.
Okay. 2 days before I got the letter, I had no idea I had a case open against me. I never got anything. Otherwise, I would have been in contact with somebody. I have no clue that was going on. So you know, like I said, I finally got in touch with her training. 4/25, April 27th, I got a letter 4/26, 4/27 from you guys saying I had a case against me. And here we are, you know, and then as soon as I got her application, you started her establishment my fee.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm asking for.
Yeah,
they think you guys.
Yeah,
what?
Just somebody.
Well,
I just didn't understand.
Because we've already heard the case. Is that we already said 250. No, the problem I have is how do we put both of these together? Because it's still not under the business name that's separated.
Their partner, it's the same people.
That was like separated though.
Just my caution.
Yeah.
If you dismiss, then there's gonna be no history for the individual.
But there's history for their company.
This is not finding the company, we're finding the individual.
That's fine, hard way for the check.
Good thing is.
And again, I'm just saying, we had this whole conversation 2 hours ago about the making sure we have history for moving forward in cases. And if you dismiss, there's not gonna be history.
But this is an unlicensed establishment owned by two people who are kind of visiting together. And we individually find each one of them, not the corporation. Though the corporation didn't have a license. So how are we not dealing with the corporation? Why are we dealing with individuals?
Ms. Chavez said it was separated.
They were separated by case number, then their licensing number.
And the buying was separated.
There have been cases with this situation that have been separated without an issue. It's just that for the fine amount.
Right, and where we are now, the fine was 500.
Yes.
And now it's 250.
Correct.
Because we changed it. So the total fine we charge now is 250 for a company. But we have these two ladies here, we're in business together, we're trying to find them both individually 250, twice as much as our current parameter. That was my point. I understand it's messy, but.
We just try to put them back together and find, and what we gave her, put it, but go ahead.
But during the time that this was found, it was under our old parameters, which was 500.
Right.
So instead of finding each lady $500 and each one of the owners, decided to do 250.
Good decision. So my question to the board is, we down there.
Can we leave that to the left? Can we go back on last and just say 125, 125, that's 250, and we're done?
Yeah.
Is that possible? Just, yeah.
You're the board member.
Motion that we.
Sorry, one sec. Legally, and maybe the AG needs to weigh in, but I think as a business, they're both sole and severally liable. Does that create a problem here? I don't want to make things difficult.
This is Jean Galvin, the Attorney General. They can be held liable separately.
Okay.
If you want to go back and reconsider the first one, you would need.
That's.
I don't know if that's what.
That's what I was trying to do. Because if I would have known that there's gonna be a second case involved the same thing, I would have said 125, not 250. That makes sense.
Yep, perfect sense.
Both of them, I just.
So we would need a motion to reopen.
Yeah, let's finish this case, and then we'll come back to the case before.
We have to close this one.
Right now, we do finding facts and conclusion law in this case.
Okay, finding fact and conclusion of law, I motion, or.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have a motion about finding facts and conclusion law. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone get that? All right, so now until we find this true. Now, do we have an order to turn this back?
I move that we offer consent agreement for $150 civil penalty. 126?
Yeah, because it was 120 amount to a promise.
125. 125 civil penalty, it's outside in 30 days, and for a formal hearing, with 12 months to pay.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Does anyone oppose?
Thanks.
All right, your name, okay. Majority? Nope. By majority, we've agreed that we fine you $125 for this major event. And you have a year to pay it, your obligation per year. You have any questions about that? Okay, you'll get a letter to that effect in the mail. Thank you very much for coming. I'm recalling case number 2024-00138. Wendy Maria Marie Gunther, 1120197. Already swore you in, so you're still under 20. Now, regarding this case, do we have a motion to rescind the previous motion?
I'm Marshall Knox, Vice Chair. Motion that we rescind the previous motion to pay $250. Order discipline for $250 and a 23-month probationary period. It can be changed to $125.
Jeannie has the right.
Yeah, can you give the motion to rescind first? Just the order first.
Just motion to rescind the previous. I want to put a motion to rescind the previous order. All right, do we have a second?
Tracy Wilkins, the second.
Tracy. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone against? All right, so we rescinded your previous order. Do we have an order of discipline in this matter, a motion order of discipline?
I move that we offer a consent agreement for $125 civil penalty if the fine within 30 days means a formal hearing, 12 months to pay it, and 12 months probation to double check that they've got everything figured out.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Do we have any need?
No.
Okay, one next. All right, so by majority, we are reducing your fine. Now that we've got it. Thank you for coming in today. Have a nice drive home. You guys made a little extra money. Go have lunch. Number four, 2024-00141. Christopher Rodno, 12100322. Christopher Rodno.
Hello, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm here.
How do you say it?
Hello, hi, yeah. When I first moved out here, I moved out like a couple years ago.
Oh, hang on. Is this Christopher, first of all? Okay.
Yeah,
this is him. Where you in? You swear or affirm the testimony you give today will be truthful and the whole truth?
Yeah.
Now stop. I'm going to have my investigator review this case with us. We're going to ask him questions. We're going to come back to you and ask you questions.
Okay.
Good? All right, thank you.
Yep.
This is okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Daigle and members of the board. My name is Teague McConnell. On September 14th, 2023, I conducted an investigation at Rager and Shear Barbershop. I spoke with Christopher about why I was there and tried to help me figure out the establishment license, and also showed me his cosmetology license. After sanitation, no additional violation statute or administrative result were identified. And then for the shop license, I checked yesterday on 5/6/2024, and it's still not licensed. I provided the license with the investigation report and educated them before leaving. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Yeah, you bumped over something there I didn't understand. Did you say he had the cosmetology license? As a personal cosmetology?
Personal, yeah.
Did he have a salon license?
Salon.
Okay, so personal. Okay. Okay. And did he have a barber license also?
So the whole 1,000 was on license. He just had a personal cosmetology license.
Okay. Were there other operators in the?
There were two others, but they handled braiding. That's what they told me.
Okay.
Did they have a barber establishment?
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the board?
He just worked there.
Yeah, he was just working there.
Got it.
He was, when you came to stake, he was actually doing a tech.
Yeah.
Okay. But the other individuals were there braiding.
Okay. All right. Great report. Okay. Mr. Brudno, have you reviewed this complaint?
Yes, I do.
Can you review with us your information that might help us better understand this?